May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you. read from the Word of God. Two portions of Scripture, first from Psalm 89, and reading from verse 19 down to verse 36, then a few verses from the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. First reading from Psalm 89, beginning from verse 19 down to verse 36. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him for evermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure for ever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure for ever, and his throne as the sun before me. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll read down to verse 11. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, reading down to verse 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May the Lord bless those two readings of his word of truth to us. Help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, once more we venture upon thee. Thou wilt be pleased to hear us as we call upon thy name. And we thank thee that we have that free access unto God the Father, that we are indeed those enabled to enter into the holiest of all, and that through the flesh of Christ, through his merits, through his person, and that one who ever liveth now to make intercession for us, our only plea, what he has done for sinners. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that we can venture before thee and come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, this is a time of need. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to the help of each one of us, even as that Syrophoenician woman, she came for much needed help, and she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be helped and enabled to draw near to thee, and that thou wilt be pleased to look down upon us, come to each of our needs at this time, and pray, Lord, that we may be those indeed again found waiting upon thee, and that thou wilt help us to worship at thy feet. And, O Lord, our needs are great. Thou knowest, Lord, the things that we commit to thee concerning us. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to hear the prayers and the petitions that have been offered up to thee in this thy house of prayer, this time, and be pleased to answer. O Lord, come to each one of us, Lord. We're those that are the dependents of thy grace, and we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to each one of us, and that each one of us this evening hour may receive the blessings at thy hand, if it will be thy gracious will, and that we may this evening hour be those indeed that shall be blessed inwardly and spiritually in our souls, that thou wilt be pleased to come and leave some tokens of thine especial love to thy people, a further token, Lord, that we're in the way, narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, confirm us again as we journey forth here below, and be that one, Lord, to keep us and to preserve us unto thyself. Keep us faithful to thee, Lord. Be pleased to work in us thy will and power. And may we, Lord, as we journey forth, be abled and enabled to commit our all into thine ever-merciful hands. But we do pray, Lord, that we may be those that shall be helped and enabled to behold the blessings that are indeed laid up for them that love thee. So often, Lord, we have to confess that our minds seem to be so much upon the present and upon the temporals of this life. Yet, Lord, they are only but for a very short moment. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to turn us and to reveal and manifest unto us those things that are spiritual, eternal, and in the heavens. Those things, Lord, that shall remain and abide for ever, and where we can cast all our hope and faith upon in what Jesus has done, those things that thou hast laid up for thy people that love thee. O Lord, we do pray that we may each have some interest, Lord, in that blessed word, that portion, Lord, that there are those things laid up for them that love thee. Oh, do we love thee, Lord? Do we love thee with all our heart, with all strength and soul and mind? Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be counted of that number, indeed, that shall be blessed and brought through our course here below, borne up in those arms of the shepherd, and carried and borne up, and brought safely through our journeyings forth here below, and to know, Lord, that with thy people there is truly a glorious end. Thy servant Simeon, Lord, looked to that end. He bore thee up in his arms, the holy child Jesus, but by his faith beheld him in the sinner's room and place, a sacrifice for his sins and iniquities. Let us now, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. O Lord, may that be the mercy of each and every one of us that gather together here this evening hour, and those that gather together with us when and enabled, that this portion indeed may be theirs. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt put these solemn truths into our hearts, the things that are so needful and of necessity to our never-dying immortal souls at this time, and that the solemn truth of eternity may be constantly set before us. And Lord, when we contemplate eternity, our poor minds, Lord, cannot come, Lord, into an endless time, as it were. But, O Lord, it is an eternity, and it is forever. And, O Lord, we're journeying forth. And what is the interest in our poor, never-dying, immortal souls? What have we got to lay hold upon to bring us safely to that desired haven? Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt indeed come, and that these things may be of anxious thought in our poor souls, and that we may be brought truly to seek thee, that thou wilt be pleased to become our portion for ever, we pray thee, Lord. And it will be through the merits of Jesus. It will be through what he came to do for sinners, our only hope of salvation, even unto eternal life, and able to save unto the uttermost, even to everlasting life. And we do pray, Lord, that we may have some interest for our souls in respect of these things. And, Lord, to consider, Lord, that if we were to gain the whole world and lose our own soul, oh, Lord, we do pray, oh, that we may be brought away, Lord, as we ask it, Lord, from those things that shall only remain for a moment, and that our hearts may be settled and fixed upon those things that abide and remain forever. We pray thee. So, Lord, come to us each, Lord. Stir us up in our souls. Let us be made mindful, Lord, by and through thy Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray thee. and begin to teach us, Lord, our need of thee. And Lord, if it will be pleased thee, that those indeed who continue heedless and unregarding, Lord, of the solemn truth of those things that are before us, there is, Lord, but the way, Lord, everlasting, and then the way, solemnly, of an eternity in damnation. Lord, come and show to us the way and path of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be pleased, Lord, to come into our souls by and through thy Spirit and teach us our need of thee and of a Saviour, and to have an interest in that precious blood of thine that is able to cleanse and able to heal from all sin and from all defilement. O Lord, there are those indeed that can bear testimony here to the glorious truth that, Lord, thou art able, Lord, to save and to redeem even the foulest sinner, Lord. Oh, we do pray then, Lord, appear in the riches of thy grace, and may we be made conscious of our needs, spiritually and eternally, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we journey forth, Lord, we are conscious of thy word. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, be pleased to come to each one of us, Lord, and bring us to see, Lord, that our days are here upon the earth are but few, and it is only thou, Lord, that knowest the number of our days. Some, Lord, indeed have lived many years, but even then, Lord, they are but short when we are brought to contemplate again eternity. And we do pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to see and to feel our need of thee, if it will be thy gracious will, applying our hearts unto wisdom, applying our hearts, Lord, to the taking up of thy word, and through the Spirit, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to enlarge our souls, to open up the scriptures of truth before us, Lord, that we may, by and through thy Spirit, lay hold upon those things that are of real spiritual good for our never-dying souls here below. A precious Christ in his word and in his promises, and a precious Christ in those things that he has done and wrought for sinners at Calvary. And help us to journey forth, Lord, and to lay hold upon thee by faith as that one to bring us safely through our course, delivered from that roaring lion who continueth seeking to devour, and, Lord, to keep and save us from our own selves and from our own wicked and deceitful hearts by nature. And then, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased also to come to us, and that thou wilt reveal and manifest thyself to us in thy love and mercy, we pray thee. And so, Lord, teaching us, Lord, to number our days, may our hearts be set upon those things that are above and upon Christ Jesus, and those things that are laid up for them that love thee. May we know thee a testimony, Lord, and a witness in our souls when thou didst say that I go to prepare a place for you. May it be of urgent inquiry, Lord, in our poor souls. Lord, hast thou reserved a place for my soul? I'm journeying forth, Lord. The time is short, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest be pleased to appear and reveal and manifest thyself to my poor soul, Lord, and show to me that I have a place with thee in heaven and glory, when I finish my course here below. Oh, do come to us, Lord, we pray thee, and bless us with such realities of truth and substance for our poor, never-dying, immortal souls, we pray thee. And keep us close to thyself, Lord, and be pleased to rule and to reign in our hearts and in our lives. And may we know what it is, Lord, to be kept steadfast in faith and truth and doctrine, if it will be thy gracious will. And keep us faithful to thee, Lord, faithful to thy cause, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus, helping us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow thee, if it will be thy gracious will. Oh, we do need thee, Lord, each and every part and aspect of our lives here below. And so, Lord, help us to commit everything that concerns us into thine ever-merciful hands. The things that concern us in our homes, our education, the things that concern us in our lives here below. Help us, Lord, to commit everything unto thee, Lord, and deliver and save us from our own selves and the dictates of our own hearts, if it will be thy gracious will. So, Lord, be pleased to come and work in our hearts, we pray thee, thy spirit and power. Teach us our need of thee, Lord. And we pray then, Lord, be with us. We pray be with each unable to gather with us at this time, Lord. We prayerfully commit them into thine ever-merciful hands, that thou wilt draw near to them and their needs at this time, and wheresoever they may be, Lord. And we do pray, visit them in thy salvation. We pray, Lord, draw near to all our young friends and children and babes in arms that gather here, Lord, and may their continual coming into the means of grace be that, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to use, and that they may be found under the purposes of thy love and grace, and that, Lord, that time indeed shall appear when thou wilt be pleased, if it will be thy gracious will, to reveal and manifest thyself to them in thy love and mercy, and that mercy in salvation, that mercy in the cross of Jesus, and that mercy that flows through his sin-atoning blood, we pray thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come then. And we pray, Lord, be with each of the members here, and give them grace, Lord, in the concerns and the interest of thy house of prayer here, and that those things, Lord, needful and necessary to thy house, indeed may be done and accomplished. But we would seek and thank thee, Lord, for the gospel that is preached here, and of precious Christ revealed as the Saviour of sinners, and pray, Lord, that each and every one that gather may come into the blessedness of that salvation through his blood, we pray thee. O Lord, pardon and forgive our every sin, and deliver us from self and deliver us from sin, Lord. Keep and preserve us, Lord, from the evil one. And Lord, be pleased, Lord, and to pardon and forgive, Lord, our every sin. Oh, we have much to confess and much to repent of, but we thank thee, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And oh, we do pray and thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, be with us now. Draw near to thy servant and help him to speak in thy name. May thy word be made precious to each soul. And we do pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to visit each one of us in thy salvation. So we ask these mercies in and through that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me. Make me, Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
Seeking much needed help from the Lord, seek to draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and reading from verse 75. Psalm 119, and reading from verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Where would we be, dear friends, unless the Lord was right, or as the margin renders it, righteousness, in respect of his judgments upon his people, and then also in faithfulness to afflict his people? Or where would we be, dear friends, if the Lord were not right in his judgments and his faithfulness was removed from us? Why, dear friends, we'd have no hope to continue. We would sink indeed, because it really means this, that if the Lord was going to leave us, then how could we ever continue? How could we ever manage? How could we ever go forth in his name? We couldn't, dear friends. This word is something that David knew in his experience. And I say it is something that I've known in my experience. These judgments of the Lord here are not the judgments whereby he will judge the world ultimately, when he comes again the second time without sin unto salvation. It isn't his judgments where he is pleased to judge amongst all the peoples and the nations of the earth. No, these judgments are the Lord's gracious dealings with his people. These are what the judgments of God are, in the words of our text. It's the way that the Lord will be pleased to deal with us. And we have no doubt here, dear friends, that when the Lord will be pleased to judge his people, it's mingled with his love towards us. Oh, it is. It's mingled with his love, his judgments to his people. And think of his love. It's an unchanging love, isn't it? Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. It's his love towards his children. And dear friends, it is unalterable. He rests in his love. And that is the wonderful truth that belongs to us, because we're so changeable. And David came into many trials and afflictions and troubles here below, and the Lord was pleased to use them to afflict his dear servant, to restore him, to bring him back, to show to him his love, his mercy, and to set him right again in respect of that way to serve and to follow him. David was one, dear friends, that often turned aside very solemnly. But we can't talk about David in that way, can we? They're lessons for us. And you see, what about our failings? What about our trials? What about, dear friends, our forgetfulness of the Lord, our unmindfulness of him? What about, dear friends, when we're left, dear friends, to ourselves and to our own hearts, to our own nature? Dear friends, is there anything that we're incapable of? There isn't, dear friends, there isn't. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Just want to read a portion that we read together, both in Hebrews and also in Psalm 89, and where the Lord is pleased in the riches of his grace to come to us and to appear and to bring us to follow him and to serve him. He says in verse 29 of the 89th Psalm, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. It's the Lord's mercy, isn't it? We do have failings and shortcomings. You see, we forget to come to the Lord in respect of everything that concerns us. We go about, dear friends, at times according to our own heart's dictates. And this is the solemn truth in respect of us. We need his grace to come upon us, and how that the Lord will be pleased to correct and chasten us, bring us back and show to us our need of him in every part and aspect of our lives. We need him in our homes. We need him in our business. We need him, dear friends, at every point of our lives here below. We need him. And it's important that we wait upon him in respect of that, and not gather about, dear friends, seeking our own way through our own troubles and trials and difficulties here below. And there's another thing. Let us not do anything without the permission of the Lord. You know, divine wisdom, dear friends. We will never make a mistake in respect of that. No, let us follow him. He speaks to us. Let us follow him. Come to the light and truth of his word. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know that those two words, nevertheless, afterward. Dear friends, when the Lord will be pleased to come and deal with us, there will be a nevertheless afterward. Oh, there will. I've discovered that time and time again. There is a nevertheless afterward when we see his gracious hand towards us, when we see his loving kindness and his mercies lengthened out towards us. You see, oh, when we go against him, you see, oh, what a mercy it is that he remains the same. And his love is, dear friends, it's absolutely unchangeable. It cannot alter one iota, dear friends, his love towards his people. No, it was good, wasn't it, when the Lord corrected and chastened Peter. You know, he was left to pass through Satan's sieve. But see how the Lord loved Peter, and see how good it was for Peter, dear friends, to be corrected and chastened by the Lord. Peter was so bold, you see. He was full of himself and self-confidence, you know, and there was much of the creature in him. And well, the Lord was pleased to remove everything concerning ourselves when he when he began with us by his grace to change us and to renew us. He brought us to nothing and laid us low, dear friends, consumed all from us, all the worldliness, all our own strength, all our so-called intellect and abilities of ourselves. He brought us to nothing, and that is the wonderful truth of the gospel, because then we shall be made ready to receive Jesus as our Saviour and Redeemer. But Peter, oh, it was good when Jesus passed by, looked up and saw Jesus. He turned and he wept bitterly, dear friends. And this word here that we've spoken, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. This word afflicted, it means also humbled. In the affliction he is humbled. And that is what the Lord will do to his people. He will humble them. Or to know more of his nature is the blessing and the mercy for us, to seek to know more of his nature. More of the nature of the meek and the lowly dove, you see. And Peter had to know that nature, somewhat of it. And the Lord brought him through Satan's sieve to discover it. And it was a real affliction, dear friends. He denied the Lord Jesus thrice. Denied him. Denied that he ever walked with him, that he ever knew him, you see. But oh, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You see, the Lord in his faithfulness afflicted him. He was faithful to his child. You see, he was faithful in his love to him. And he was faithful in that he corrected him and chastened him and brought him back. He was faithful, dear friends. Why? Because Peter was a redeemed soul and he was faithful to him. And the Lord will never lose one of his dear people, but he will correct them, he will restore them, and he will bring them back. And they will be brought to see their foolishness and folly. They will, is the wonderful truth. And then Peter would be able to say and repeat these words, I know, O Lord. What a wonderful word it is. I know, O Lord. It's a word of a felt union, a word, dear friends, of that a belonging. You see, I know, O Lord. Oh, the Lord, he is that one that is so near to his people. But he will correct and he will chasten his people. Well, I do think there's just one or two thoughts in respect of this word for us each tonight. I don't know your case and your needs, dear friends. Don't know the manner of your lives. Don't know the way that you're living your lives, dear friends. But are we living them unto the Lord? Are we living them unto Jesus? You see. There is one affliction which I don't want to bypass, but I just begin with it. It will be the greatest blessing and the mercy if the Lord will, by his judgments, which are right in righteousness, it says in the margin. And he is right, dear friends. He is right. He is righteous in all his ways. He is righteous. He is just. He is true. And what a mercy it is if the Lord will be pleased to come and afflict us, to show to us our need as sinners. And I believe that that will be the most blessed affliction. I know it was for me. I shall never forget it. But when the Lord came and afflicted me, showed me my sins, this is the truth here. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that he will be pleased to come. It is a way of correcting and a way of chastening and a way of bringing back, because by our very nature in this world, we're wayward, we're far from the Lord. We're backsliders, dear friends. We're far from him. And this is the truth. But he said, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And when he afflicts, dear friends, in respect of sin, it's to humble thy soul. It is to humble. It's to bring thee to see, dear friends, the solemn truth of that sin that bars thee from heaven and glory, and that sin that stands to condemn thee to an everlasting damnation. Oh, dear friends, that's why this chastening, this affliction, dear friends, it's such a wonderful affliction. It's the beginning of grace, you see, in the soul. It's the beginning of that glorious change so needful within. And only the Lord, the Spirit, can do and perform that change. He that hath begun a good work, it will be an afflictive work. But it will reveal and manifest, dear friends, the blessedness of our need of him, of a Saviour, to deliver and to save us from our sins. And, you know, it is only a very small word, is sin, but the consequences, dear friends, oh, it's the most awful thing, what sin can bring us to. But Jesus passed through it all upon the cross at Calvary. Everything that was deserving to us, Jesus suffered upon the cross at Calvary. Oh, the just wrath of God, and the broken law, dear friends, and that also our sins and iniquities, the mass of them, the multitude of them, the crimes of our lives, dear friends, the wayward heart. Oh, this is the wonderful truth here of what Jesus came to do. But oh, wasn't it a mercy that he brought us, dear friends, to wait upon him, to seek him, to be our Saviour and Redeemer. And there's nothing more blessed and glorious than that, dear friends. This poor, afflicted, humble soul now pleading for that blood and that righteousness of Jesus to cleanse, to heal, to restore and to bless, dear friends, as those that are justified freely by his grace, no condemnation. And this is the mercy. And that poor woman found that mercy. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Lord will come. If he afflicts thy soul for sin, if that work has begun through the Spirit of the Lord, he will complete that work. And there is hope then in his salvation. Hope at mercy's door is the great blessing for all seekers whose desire is to know him in his great salvation. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I believe that I can repeat these words in respect of that grace that I found, that grace that saved me, that grace that renewed me, that grace that brought me to God the Father, and that grace that told me that heaven and glory is mine, because the Lord in faithfulness came and afflicted me. What does it mean, in faithfulness he came and afflicted me? Just think, Jesus came to fulfill all the blessings of the covenant of God's grace. And Jesus, he came to fulfill the whole will of his heavenly Father. And he also came, dear friends, with the names of every one of his dear people written upon his breast, you see. And so in faithfulness it will come to them. Oh, he'll never lose a child, dear friends. No, in faithfulness I come to do thy will, O God. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work in faithfulness. And this is a blessing, isn't it? I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Just one or two thoughts in respect of David. And he did live a sad and solemn life at times, dear friends. And we may think of Bathsheba and Uriah, and nothing more solemn than that, dear friends. David was left to himself, and he was left to his own heart, dear friends. And his eyes lost it, is the very solemn truth. And we see now that he was one that very solemnly broke God's holy and righteous law, adultery and murder. But Nathan the prophet came to him and told him that he would not die and that the Lord had pardoned his sin. It's a wonderful truth that, dear friends, we would thought that he would have been cast off forever, wouldn't we? But you see, David, when he had sinned, committed adultery and so forth, it seemed to be many months. He was one, dear friends, that was never brought to confess and to repent his sins. It was hidden, dear friends. He was continuing and following his own heart, fulfilling his lusts, you see. He had truly turned his back upon the Lord. And you see, but the Lord would come to him. He sent Nathan the prophet with the parable of the ewe lamb. Thou art the man. And so we see the Lord came to him in his faithfulness. In his faithfulness. Oh, he wasn't going to let his child go, dear friends, to perish. No. But then David, when he was brought by Nathan the prophet to see his foolishness and his folly, thou art the man. I have sinned, he said, against the Lord. And we see Psalm 51, where the Lord indeed was one that restored him. And David now pleading for mercy, that his sins might be blotted out. And he was brought to see against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. What a mercy it is. It's in the Lord's loving kindness, dear friends. His love to his soul. That love can never be broken, you know. It doesn't give us license, dear friends, to go out and sin and offend against the Lord and to break his holy and righteous law. Not at all. It's a lesson for us. But here David was shown mercy. And we can see these words here. And the words of our text, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The babe, dear friends, died. And you see, yes, I know that those things concerning Bathsheba and Solomon. But you see, it's the Lord. It's what he will do in respect of his grace and his goodness. And that Bathsheba did indeed become his wife. But we see here this truth. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh, he had been truly afflicted. The bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. What was it that David wanted to come again into the blessing of? It was this, dear friends. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now we see how good it was that the Lord afflicted David. And now David, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, he wanted again to know the blessedness of that union and fellowship with his God. And the Lord was pleased to come again to him. But this is the truth with him. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Well, dear friends, may the Lord keep us and preserve us, faithful to him, faithful to his cause and to his truth, faithful walkers before him. May the Lord influence us by his fear in our hearts. Oh, that fear that will hold us to him, you see. Then there was another thought that I thought of David. You know, the Lord crowned him. Samuel crowned him that he would become king of Israel. He was brought to pass through that wilderness. And you know, and Saul pursued him. But you see, the Lord had appeared for him on so many occasions and delivered him. And yet David was turned to himself. He was left to himself. And he was brought to flee from Saul and went forth into the enemy's camp. Oh, what how solemn it is then, dear friends, to be left to self and to try and get ourselves out of our own troubles, dear friends. It's a mistake. David thought he was going to be free of Saul. Well, he got into deeper trouble, didn't he? And it was going to be another afflictive time and season for David. He feigned madness before Achish, king of Gath, and before the princes of the land, and before his own men. Oh, dear friends, David was sore afraid when they saw that it was he. Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Dear friends, he became afraid and he trembled. He feigned madness. The Lord used it, but it was an afflictive time and season, dear friends. The Lord used it. And where was the humbling effect of that truth? Where was it, dear friends? It was in Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried. Ah, dear friends, this truth was come to pass then, wasn't it? I know, O Lord, that thy righteous, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Oh, we have to be brought again and made sensible of our need of Jesus. Dear friends, let us not turn our back upon our God. He has done so many great things for us. You see, we may have enemies all about us, but, dear friends, commit our all unto him and into his hands. And the Lord will deal with them. He will. He will not, dear friends, leave his poor people to be overtaken by the church's enemies. No, he won't. And so David was restored. He was brought back. And in thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. This poor man cried. Oh, if the Lord is pleased to continue to show his loving kindness to us and to bring us back, is our mercy. But let us not either, dear friends, go against the Lord. I thought of Naomi, and you know, she was one indeed. She went out, there was a famine in the land, she went out from her native land, that had been given to her. And she went out with her husband and her two sons and into the land of Moab, into another idolatrous country, dear friends. There were many that stayed behind, you know, in Israel, but they rose up and went. They may have, dear friends, had the deepest concern for their family, yes. It appears that they were unable to commit everything entirely into the hands of the Lord. She came to this point when she was returning, dear friends, to the land. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You know, it may have been, dear friends, the fact that they rose up and went out into the land of Moab, an idolatrous country, and then she lost her husband and then her two sons. And she went out full, came back empty, dear friends. Maybe the Lord's correction and chastening in respect of his child must remember that in all this time the Lord loved her. Ain't no mistake about that. All this time the Lord loved her, but he corrected her, he chastened her, and he brought her back, dear friends. And what a mercy it is. We have such a good God, haven't we? And his loving kindness and his tender mercies were outpoured towards Naomi. And we know the blessing ultimately in respect of Ruth and the royal seed. And the Lord used going forth into Moab. And it's in the wisdom of his providence, dear friends. But it doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't confess and repent our sins and iniquities, and our turning our back upon him. And dear friends, when there's a famine, may we be those indeed that will wait upon the Lord. He's always that one that will come to his people. He will hear them, and he will come to their help and to their need. It wasn't everyone that rose up and left Israel, dear friends. No, the Lord is the keeper of his people. Let us wait upon him, you see, for everything. And then there is another truth. Let us keep the word of the Lord. By the way, I did think of Job. You know, all those things that came upon Job. The Lord said to Satan, then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Well, and the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, Job, dear friends, was a man that was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And these graces, dear friends, were so powerful in the heart and in the life of Job. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. He reverenced his God. He honoured his God. And he walked before his God, served his God, loved his God. He held to his God. And everything was taken from him in a moment of time, as it were. In one day, lost all. What a time it was, an afflictive time for him. But dear friends, he was humbled, wasn't he? Have we ever seen that statement that Job made and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Dear friends, if the Lord is pleased to bring troubles and trials and afflictions into our way and path, let us be submissive to his holy and his sovereign will. Let us acknowledge him as the Lord Supreme, and that one who rules and reigns over us, and that one, dear friends, whom we are subject to. Let us own him, dear friends. Let us be those indeed that will humble ourselves like Job under his mighty hand, under these afflictions, because that is what this word means. I looked it up in the translations of it. In faithfulness hast afflicted me. Yes, the affliction had humbled him. And that is the truth of the word. And it's our mercy, isn't it, to know this humble, contrite spirit. And I know something of that, dear friends, because the Lord did come to me on an occasion, and I shall never forget it. He did correct, he did chasten, he did afflict, and I was brought prostrate before him. And I was one, dear friends, I couldn't come into a more humbler place. I tried to cry in prayer, and I couldn't put a prayer together. But the Lord knew that their groanings that cannot be uttered, he could put it together, and he knew what it all meant, you see. And the Lord, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Oh, the Lord is good to us, dear friends, but he is good to us if he will correct and chasten us and afflict us for our own good and for our own profit and for the glory of his great and his holy name. See what it is to wait upon the Lord in respect of your troubles and your afflictions and your trials. See Hannah, dear friends. The Lord, dear friends, was one that... And she was a poor thing in and of herself, but the Lord had closed up her womb, you see. But oh, she didn't murmur, she didn't complain, she didn't run that way and that the other way, dear friends. No, she kept to the Lord, she kept to the throne of grace, and that is what we need to do, dear friends. It was an affliction, and a real affliction. It was a real trial to her. But you see how she held this humble spirit and submissive to the Lord's will. And she cried unto him, dear friends, and over a good period of time. But the Lord appeared, you see, and she was brought to see that in that affliction, how that the Lord was faithful. He was faithful that had afflicted her. He was faithful, dear friends, because he appeared for her. He was faithful in his love to her. And he was faithful, dear friends, in that affliction should abide with her for such and such time as the Lord would see fit. And let us remember that, dear friends, as the Lord will see fit, that an affliction may remain and abide with his dear people. It is the Lord's good time and pleasure that it should be so. But I just wanted to make mention of a time, if I can just find it. Time seems to have gone so quickly. But there was a time, dear friends, when the Lord, David was in his proud nature, would number the people. Dear friends, let us be delivered from a proud nature, from pride. You know, it is a monster. That was the trouble with Peter. It is a monster. And David sent Joab to number the people. Well, Joab deceived him, actually. He didn't number them all. But really, it was the armies of Israel. And David was proud, you see. Wanted to know the number of Israel and the armies of Israel. But the Lord came to him, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done this very foolishly. Oh, dear friends, may we be those dear friends, to know what it is, to have that humble spirit and to follow the Lord and to be delivered from our old nature, from all its pride, dear friends. It will lead us into trouble just like it did David. Let us be small. Let us be small. Not big, dear friends, small. And then we know, dear friends, the judgment that the Lord brought upon them, the pestilence and so forth. And so many thousands died, dear friends, in respect of that. And David, he was one that was in a great strait, wasn't he? And this truth that David was brought and made sensible, that he'd sinned against the Lord. Oh, may the Lord keep us, dear friends, from pride, from self, from the old nature, from the old man. Oh, we have to pray much over this, dear friends. But may the Lord help us, keep us in that low place. You know, this is the wonderful truth of the Lord's dear people, ready to deny themselves, take up their cross, and to follow him. And this is the blessing, I do believe, that we have here. So many instances. You see, Jonah, he turned away from the word of the Lord. The Lord instructed him that he should go to Nineveh and preach the gospel there, repentance and so forth. And he turned his back upon the word, dear friends. Dear friends, do not turn your back upon the word of the Lord. Do not turn away from the Lord. No. You see the solemn truth that Jonah was brought into. Yes, the whale in the whale's belly, 3 days and three nights and so forth. And he was afflicted. And he, if I can just find it, he said that it was the Lord that afflicted him. If I can just find it. He confessed, and he was confessing his sin, dear friends, in turning away from the word of the Lord. If the Lord speaks to us, dear friends, embrace the word. Embrace it. When you read the scriptures, pray over the Holy Spirit that it may be applied. But embrace the word, you see. Here is where the Lord speaks to us. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The Lord chastened and corrected, he afflicted him. But he restored him. And he brought him back. And it was in that same plane when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And they laid it on an ark, they laid it upon a new cart, dear friends, placed it upon a new cart for the Ark to be brought back. And they were then, as they were returning, they were all rejoicing, the trumpets and the cymbals and so forth, you see. And you would think that it was such a big company of real and true worship of the Lord, a real rejoicing in the ark was again being returned to Jerusalem. And they were all in high spirits, dear friends, glory to God, as it were. But there was something wrong. They had not kept the word of the Lord. David was brought to discover a little later. You remember that Uzzah put his hand forward to steady the ark, dear friends, and the Lord slew him. And David was very displeased, discouraged, but he was brought to see that he had offended against the Lord. And this is the truth in respect of him. It was in the word of the Lord how that ark should be carried. And it was by the Levites. And it was their business alone. They were consecrated to carry that ark. and he put it on a new cart. Dear friends, let us follow the Lord in his word, in our worship, in our love and our devotion to him. Leave us not to offend against him, but worship him in spirit and in truth and according to his word. Well, the Lord came to him, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Shall have to draw to a close, dear friend. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper follows. But let us just see here, dear friends, one glorious truth here, the loving kindness of the Lord. He will come to his people, he will correct and chasten them. But dear friends, let us be of those that shall serve and follow him. Let us know what it is to fall under his will and his purposes. And if there is anything in our lives that we need and seek and desire, whether it's for our homes, whether it's for our business, whatever it might be, let us go to the Lord with it. Don't let us, dear friends, go over his head, you see, but let us come to the Lord. It's the Lord that manages us. He doesn't just manage us in respect of our salvation and in a spiritual way, and in, as we come to the Lord's house. It's every part of our lives, dear friends, every part. We belong to him, and he owns us. May the Lord help us to follow him. And if there's anything that we need, dear friends, we can come to the Lord. And he's always ready, dear friends, to come to the help of his people. He will appear for his people. Let us know what it is to wait upon him and to serve him all our days. Let us know what it is to give him the preeminence and to put him first and foremost in all things to the glory of his great and holy name. May we know that patient waiting upon him and for his will and his purposes. And I pray this, that the Lord will be pleased to afflict all in respect of their great need of his salvation. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £755, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £1,150, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening at 7:30, and God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
pleased to bless the services of thy house this day. May thy name alone have all the honour and the glory. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us, and take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.